Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
Good evening, everybody. I'm Bart Winkler. Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show. Carlos Ortiz is alongside, and we're doing what we've been doing the last couple of weeks. We're following the NBA games that are in action. We're following the NHL games that are in action. And we're going to find a way, somehow, I'm not sure yet, but we're going to find a way to still squeeze NFL into the proceedings as well. It is what we do here nightly on the Bart Winkler Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Wherever you're getting us, that's pretty cool. We're also on the Odyssey app. We're on stations across the country and, dare I say, continent. Far and wide, if you're driving around, put that seek button on if cars still come with those. And find the latest station, and you might hear Bart Winkler and Carlos Ortiz yapping it up on some desolate highway. Also, Sirius XM, Channel 375. So, all of the series, and we got into this a little bit last night, but all of the series are 3-1 right now. Right now, they are. They won't be in about an hour, hour and a half, but right now, they are. And if you look at the series, you know, a 3-1 comeback, and it might be a little different in NHL than in the NBA, but still the odds are not on your favor. Not only do you have to, if you're going to come back, win three in a row, you got to do it against a team who's just won 3 of 4 against you, and you probably don't have home court or home ice most of the time, and you probably are feeling a little fatigued and defeated. And when you are down 3-1, it's a lot easier to think of Cancun than it is the next round of the postseason. It's just natural that your brain will take it that way. The hockey game tonight, could this be a series where the team down 3-1 comes back? It looked like maybe, and there's still a whole period to go. But Carolina put up 2 in the first period. Okay, they're at home ice. So you got 2 of 3 at home. That's good. But then in the second period, 3 goals from the Panthers. So now they go into the last act here, up 3-2. Not that it can't be done, not that it won't be done, but Florida in this series has been putting up goals. They got shut out the last game. Otherwise, it's been 5 both games in Carolina prior to this. And then the 6 they put up in game 3. So could this be a game or a series that gets extended? It looked maybe, but then it looked like no. And even if Carolina won tonight, I don't know that that would have been the case. Oklahoma City and Minnesota in the NBA, no. We can say right. We could say early in the first quarter. We could say like 6 minutes in. This just had that vibe, that feel like this ain't happening for Minnesota. They had to go on the road in game 5. Then they would go back home in game 6 and then have to go on their own again. But Minnesota came out not good. At the end of the first quarter, they were 3 for 20 shooting. They were 1 for 9 from 3, and they had just 9 points in the first quarter. And you may think, oh my God, 9 points. Is that the lowest, like, ever? It's not even the lowest scoring first quarter of this playoffs. Denver had 8 against the same Thunder team in game 4 of that series. So 2 different series, 2 different games, 1 playoffs. The Thunder have held an opponent to single digits in the first quarter. Quite remarkable stuff. And they are going to show, I think, why they're going to be a test for Indiana, which leads us to that series momentarily. But again, with this game tonight, we are just underway in the second half. Oklahoma City's at home. They're up 67-32. It's just a complete boat racing. Minnesota fans already online talking about who's going to stay, who's going to go. They got some free agency guys that they're going to have to deal with. We'll get into that a little bit later. They're not coming back in this game. They're down 35. So Oklahoma City is going to go back to the NBA Finals, it would appear. the first half, I mentioned how bad the first quarter was. First half was, I mean, not any better. Anthony Edwards finished the first half with just 9 points. He was 3 for 10, 0 for 5 from three. And Julius Randle had 8 points, just 3 of 7. At the half, though, the Timberwolves made a combined, their whole team, 12 shots. They turned the ball over 14 times. You know, 14 turnovers is a lot already, but to have more turnovers than you do made shots is pretty disgusting here. So as this game continues on, it is just a formality. I mean, they're going to play another quarter, probably, you know, relatively hard. And then in the fourth quarter, it's going to be, oh, that guy's on the Timberwolves? Oh, why didn't he get more minutes in that? You know, it's going to be one of those, like, wow, I didn't realize he was on the team sort of thing. So we're going to see probably a pretty junk fourth quarter in this game. Certainly do hope, you know, rooting interest aside, I hope the Knicks win tomorrow. Otherwise, we're not going to get another basketball game until June 5th. That's the start date of the NBA Finals. They don't move that up. June 5th. That is next Thursday. So we could go a week between basketball games. Give yourself a chance to catch up on some baseball or maybe a little sleep if you've been locked into these playoffs. So does that series have a chance? Knicks and Pacers, does that series have a chance to come back? 3-1 series are difficult to come back to or come back on regardless. It's not something that is easily done. It's not something that's been done often. Teams are 283-13 when they go up 3-1 in a series. Of the 13 teams that have ever come back from down 3-1 to win the series, only 4 of them have happened at this stage or later. So there's been some first-round comebacks. There's been some conference semifinal comebacks. But only 4 times has a team come back from 3-1 down in this stage or later. 1979, the Washington Bullets came back over the San Antonio Spurs in the East Finals, San Antonio. In 1981, the Boston Celtics were down against the Sixers and came back in the East Finals. And then 2016, you saw that 73-win Golden State Warriors team. They were down 3-1 to the Thunder. That's where Game 6 Klay emerged. They came back and beat the Thunder in the West Finals. But then they were up 3-1 against the Cavs and became the first team to blow a 3-1 lead in the NBA Finals. So it's happened 13 times out of 296 where a team that's been down 3-1 in the NBA Finals or NBA at this level, at the NBA playoffs, that's the stats. But of the 13 teams that have come back, only 4 have happened in the conference finals or later, and it hasn't happened for 10 years. Could it start to happen soon more? Perhaps. Do you think the Knicks are going to be that team? I don't know. The way they've been playing, it doesn't seem like it. Perhaps more of a Boston Celtics kind of team. Remember, they almost came down from 3-0 against the Miami Heat because their philosophy is just shoot threes all the time. They almost came down from a 3-0 deficit, which had never happened. So that would have been insane. But then they lost Game 7 pretty convincingly, if I remember. But with the Knicks, some good news, style of play or not, 3 of those 4 comebacks, they did have home court advantage. So you're the Knicks. You have home court. You have Mr. Clutch and Jalen Brunson. The problem is, Tyrese Halliburton in these playoffs has kind of stolen that mantra from you. And they would probably, if you asked a casual observer who's got the most clutch performer left in that series, well, yeah, maybe Jalen Brunson won the regular season award, but we are all witnessing what Tyrese Halliburton is doing, and he is doing things that really nobody else has ever done. And that is something that was the key feature of last night, doing something that nobody else has ever done. Last night, in the win against the Knicks, he had 32 points, 12 boards, 15 assists, 4 steals, committing 0 turnovers. He's the first player in NBA history to have at least 30 points, at least 10 boards, at least 15 assists, and no turnovers in a playoff game since turnovers first started being tracked in the 77-78 season. So it's another game, once again, where it's the first time since, or the first time ever, that the Indiana Pacers have ever done something or have been the first to do it. Even if you take his turnovers out, his stat line still stands alone, as nobody has ever gone 30-10-15 with at least 2 steals in a playoff game since steals were first kept track of in the 73-74 season. He is the first Pacer to record a 30-point triple-double in the playoffs and the first player ever to go 30-10-15 in a conference finals game. So, at first, last night this game ended, I said, this is probably the best game of Tyrese Halliburton's life, not really having dug into the whole litany of games that he's played in his life. But not just that, this is one of the best games ever played in the playoffs ever. And Tyrese Halliburton with his dad back in the stands, the author of that. So, can the Carolina Panthers come back? They got to get another goal here to get that conversation going. Can the Timberwolves come back? No, they cannot. Can the Knicks come back? I don't totally count out the Knicks in game 5. And I might not even count them out in game 6. But then game 7, I feel like the hole is too deep now. Because if there's a team that's going to beat the Knicks in Madison Square Garden in a game 7, it's going to be the Indiana Pacers. Why do I say that? Oh, they did it last year. So they could probably do it again. The other series in hockey, it's the Dallas Stars against the Edmonton Oilers. And they've lost a combined, the last 3 games, they've lost by a combined score of 13-2. They had a big first period in game 1. Otherwise, maybe this is a sweep already. As our resident hockey guy, Carlos, I mean, is there any hope for Dallas? It doesn't seem like it to me, who knows nothing.
Yeah, I mean, out of all the series that are 3-1, which you can see with this Oklahoma-Minnesota score, that one's probably over. The Dallas Stars are obviously not in a great spot, but they have the best of the 4 series, I believe, because they are the most balanced team that's left, both offensively and defensively. And they have a good special team unit. It's just Edmonton's a tough draw. I mean, obviously, they're defending Western Conference champions. And, you know, while it looks like we're headed toward a matchup, the numbers don't necessarily favor them. But 32 teams have come back from 3-1. So it's not impossible. I mean, we hockey is the one fluky sport because a lot of teams have come back down from 3-0 to win the series 4-3. So I think they have the best shot. Do I think they ultimately will do it? No. I would say Edmonton in 6. Most likely, they'll probably the Stars will get another game. But, you know, Edmonton, I think, is just too strong at this point. But I give the other series no shot. So this one's kind of wins by default.
Even if Carolina in hockey, if they come back?
No, I don't think Carolina has a chance. Like, even if they steal this game, it's Florida in 6. The Florida's just too good. And I'm a little upset that I didn't put any coin down on that one, because once Washington got knocked out, I'm like, all right, this the East is wide open for Florida to just take it.
And you don't like the Knicks to do anything?
No way.
Yeah.
I drink the tears of my Knicks friends.
Well, I'm not going that far. But it does seem like they are a insurmountable object here, that being the Indiana Pacers. when this game goes final, I'll let at least one of the games go final between the conference finals and the NBA. But one thing I do want to get into tonight is if we do have, and if is doing, you know, a lot of work there because it's pretty likely. But if we do have an Oklahoma City and Indiana final, that's going to be a pretty good opportunity for everybody to, talk about how no one's going to watch that series. Because like I always say, the NBA, more than any other sport, it's not going to be the Thunder versus the Pacers. It's going to be the Oklahoma City market versus the Indiana market. For whatever reason, the market does matter when it comes to how these teams are covered. If this was the NFL, Oklahoma City doesn't have a corresponding team, but let's look at a team like Kansas City, Denver, one of these teams in the, you know, mountain time zone, taking on like the Colts. So let's say the Indianapolis Colts, okay, let's say they are like the Pacers, and so I need an NFC team for the Thunder, and you know, it doesn't matter. I mean, there was a Super Bowl. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Any example that I come with, it doesn't matter. It's like, oh, that's a Super Bowl. Let's go. I'm pumped for the Super Bowl. But for some reason in the NBA, it's, you know, Knicks, Lakers, yeah, Celtics, Lakers, yeah. Because it's Boston versus LA. But we're not going to be like Thunder Pacers, yeah. Where if, I mean, I think it's a very compelling possible series. You're going to have a team that has been answering every call for people like me who keep moving the goalpost on Indiana. You can't. As I'm talking, I'm trying to like get it in my head. It's the Indianapolis Colts and then the Indiana Pacers. That's tripping me up a little bit. But with the Pacers and the Thunder, the Pacers, the goalpost keeps moving and they keep answering. And we're going to get to find out like just how good this team is. Because even with the Pacers having the success they're having, there's still a level of this can't really be. Like, they can't be this good, can they? With the Thunder, we've established that they are this good. They were the best regular season team. They put up monster numbers. They got the MVP. They got a great bench. They got a great coach. The Pacers still feel like a little, like, you know, magic carpet ride situation. So I'm very eager to see it from a basketball standpoint. And I hope that people aren't discouraged because, you know, these aren't two franchises that have been pummeled into our living room every year for 30 years. But also, I think the NBA's got to get in front of that. So something I want to talk about a little later is it's not on our burden to make sure this finals is a great one. It's on the NBA. They're going to have a week to market it if Indiana wins tomorrow. That should be enough time to get people hype. If you can get people hype just for Michael Jordan to have a undefined role on NBC coverage after the AI voice of a dead guy lays the introduction, you should be able to get people hyped for two of the better basketball teams that we've seen in a while. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Right now, the Thunder are up 78-251 over the Minnesota Timberwolves. And we'll keep you abreast of the situation on the ice as well. 888-710-4ISN. It is the Bart Winkler Show.
It's the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
It is the Bart Winkler Show. I am Bart Winkler, 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Got the Thunder and Timberwolves in action as we speak. We have the Panthers and Hurricanes in action as we speak. Thunder game is about over. You know what? I'm actually going to make the switch. I don't think I'm going to miss anything, am I? I don't want something to go down in this game and me not see it. And if you're like, well, why don't you get a second TV? What do you think? I work in sports? You think I should have multiple setups to see what's going on? You're probably right. And sometimes I do, but I didn't bring in my laptop today, and then it was a whole thing, and then I lost the back of my mouse. Not the whole back, but just the little part where you put in the battery, like the thing comes off, and I don't know where it is, and I've already, like, looked where it might be, and it's one of those things where it's like, rather than tear my house apart, I'd rather buy a new $12 mouse. So, I've had a busy day. Okay. I've had a busy day. I had to find the back of my mouse, which I couldn't. It rained, which always, it's like, more rain,
yeah,
right?
Same here. It just, it's so blah.
Yeah. All right, well, maybe I will tear the house apart tomorrow. Looking for the back of that mouse. There is something I'm excited about tomorrow. I'm going to have a busy day tomorrow, too. I'm going to have a busy day tomorrow. As we've talked over the however many long time it is, I talk a lot about TV scheduling. I like it. I like the nature of it. I like the science behind it. I think if you would have asked me as a 14-year-old what my dream job would be, I would say I want to schedule the primetime lineup for a major broadcast network. I think I still would find that to be a dream job. That or commissioner of the MLS. I would like to take over that league. And I walk in first day of MLS, they'd say, what do you want to do with this new era of soccer, Bar? And I'd say, how about we stop, like, no more of the suck? How about that? How about we don't suck anymore? How about, like, we do good? How about we do things in the best interest of soccer and not, like, you know, the 25, 30 owners who have bought into this pyramid scheme? That'd be a good start. And then they'd be like, oh, Mr. Winkler. But then the overlords that run soccer in this country would be like, get him out of here. That's not how it's supposed to go. So, you know, some dreams, they die. They die before you can even wake up. You wouldn't believe what I dreamed about last night. AI. Crazy. Too much.
Are you serious?
I'm in too deep. I did. I was waking up and I, like, couldn't. It's too hard to explain, but just know that I woke up mortified about the day that I was going to about to.
Would you spin the token like the end of Inception?
Nah, it was hard for me to just, I didn't know if I was dreaming. I was dreaming. It was so deep that I was convinced when I woke up that I was an AI. Don't ask any more questions. Nobody needs to know. Nobody needs to hear it. All right, so there's a little bit of drama in college football because tomorrow the schedule for the first 3 weeks comes out. And there's a lot of questions that I think a sentence like that leads to. But the college football scheduling is so layered and so complex. And because it is more of a TV product, really, than anything, doesn't the playoff committee changes prove that? There's a lot of times where they have, like, 6-day holds or 12-day holds where a lot of schools and a lot of fan bases, a lot of teams typically will know the day that they're playing, but they don't know the time. You know, you get into October and it's week 5 or whatever, and you try to say, well, what time do they play in week 8? And you won't know for another week or so because college football wants to make sure that the best games are at the best times on the biggest channels. And so ABC/ESPN is involved. NBC has now gotten involved in the Big Ten, as has CBS. Fox is involved. The Big 12, they have the Big 12. Now with TNT sharing some rights, ACC goes to the ESPN networks. So they want to make sure that if there's a game that's between two powerhouse teams, and you could kind of predict into the future, but they don't do it like NFL, although there's some flexing there. They just basically do the whole schedule a couple of weeks in advance so that they put some of the lower games on and then some decent games and then the best games go to prime time. Well, when Fox was adhering to this as somebody that came onto the college football scene, for where Fox is now with college football, I mean, they were nowhere near this when they first started. There was a time where they did not have any college football all season, and yet they had the BCS games, which made no sense, but highest bidder. So Fox now is like, okay, what we're doing is we're getting these games and we're putting our biggest games on in prime time, but they're getting smoked by these other games because we're just this little still newbie onto the college football scene. So we need to make some waves here. So they decided, what if instead of having your biggest game on at night, because typically ESPN will send its college game day crew there and get you hype, but then there's a whole bunch of games beforehand. What if Fox said, we're going to not only go and put our biggest games on at noon Eastern, but we're going to do a traveling game day type road show and try to cut in to what they're working with. They offered Reese Davis, host of game day, a ton of money. He turned it down, but they're never like not trying to make their product more digestible for the college football consumer. So that's where Big Noon Kickoff came in, because Fox was getting no traction at night, or really in the afternoon, that they thought, well, if everyone else is punting on this first TV window, then let's go for it. Let's go for that TV window. Let's dominate it and make it a thing, and we'll put our best game there rather than, you know, just give up and basically have no reason for us to be a college football player. So they did that, and it worked. It's been a huge rating success. The biggest game is on at noon on Fox, and some teams really enjoy when that happens. Oh, wow, we're getting the noon game on Fox. It's become a thing. Aesthetically, a lot of fans still like the under the lights. Prime time is still, by nature, you know, the main event of the day. You know, ER was on at 10 o'clock at night, not a soap opera at your lunch hour. I use ER for a lot of my examples. I did watch it as the family week to week. That was a Winkler family household thing. So maybe I'm still, longful of the Bus See TV era. But so why this is all being told to you now is Ohio State and Texas, it's likely going to be the first noon game of the year. So these are playoff teams. This is a big matchup. Fox gets the rights because it's at Ohio State. If this was at Texas, ESPN and ABC would have the SEC rights, and this game, without question, would be at night. And Ohio State is getting to the point where they're like, this sucks. You guys always put us on at noon. Big games, or even if we have like Marshall coming to town, Michigan, Marshall, Penn State, whatever, a lot of the fans don't like it because they want the full day to tailgate. That's what this is coming down to. And it doesn't feel as big. You know, a game between Texas and Ohio State, Labor Day weekend, that should be under the lights, not under the 89-degree heat in the middle of the day. The players have actually said they'd like it. Former players like J.J. Watt and these guys, they all complain. But the players like it. The coaches love it because they don't have to, like, worry about where their kids are all day. What are you doing all day? Just we need you to get here in the morning and then go be big man on campus afterwards. We don't care. So Fox and Ohio State had a proposal that we will move the game tonight, but for week one, it has to be on Sunday night. And the Texas AD shot that down. And there was a lot of, I'll say, scuttlebutt about Texas ducking a night game at Ohio State, about Arch Manning not being able to be prime time for the lights. How's he going to go number one if you're not prime time to play in the shoe? The Texas AD, Chris Del Conte. Why would I want to move the game to Sunday night and have a short week for our boys who were just told we're kicking off at high noon? You couldn't say that more, Texas AD. Does anyone outside of Texas say high noon besides the beverage? It was never about moving the time of day. It was just about, do you want to move the day? I go, we're not moving the day. We're obligated to this day. That was it. But, you know, the craziness is, oh, my God, they said no. I just said no to Sunday. I got to go to church. I mean, hot dang. There was also a report that they spent up to $40 million on their roster. And his answer was, that's bananas. Just to continue with the stereotypical version that I have and you may have in your head of how the Texas AD would talk. So schedule will come out tomorrow for the first three games. And then week by week, we start to learn more. And then you can plan your weekends accordingly. But that was a little bit of scheduling drama that we got to enjoy today. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. One of the games we're following got closer with an update. Here is Marco Belletti.
The biggest moments in the games.
Like a drove, finds Trocheck. Back out to Barkley. Good throw, the shot! And score! Barkley, good throw in overtime!
The biggest voices in sports.
You're asking me dumb questions, guys. Really dumb questions. Jesus. We done? Thank you.
The heartbreak.
Edmonton will finish plus five in goal differential, but without a Stanley Cup to celebrate. A devastating loss for Edmonton, but an exhilarating win for Florida.
The celebrations.
A dream 30 years in the making.
Yeah!
Is a reality. The Florida Panthers have won the Stanley Cup.
It's the audio of the day. It's the Bulletin Blitz.
That's right. It is the Bulletin Blitz. It is Wednesday, May 28th, 2025. This is the Bart Winkler Show on the Infinity Sports Network. That's Bart Winkler. I'm Carlos Ortiz.
Hey.
And this is the Bulletin Blitz. Quick update in the hockey shenanigans. Florida retakes the lead. They're up against Carolina 4-3. Carter Verhaeghe with the goal. Alexander Barkov with the assist, so all you aficionados can mark your scoring indicators accordingly. I don't know if it's a score sheet like it is in baseball. Anyway, let's go back to last night's Eastern Conference Finals. The Pacers are on the verge of making the NBA Finals. They took down the Knicks 130-121, Game 4 of the Eastern Conference Finals from Indianapolis. Tyrese Haliburton, your player of the game by far. He became the first player in playoff history with 32 points, 15 assists, 12 rebounds. That's a triple-double. But he did it without committing a single turnover. That being said, after the game, he says all he cares about is playing winning basketball.
I'm just trying to play the right way, man. I just want to impact winning. I told you guys that for the last, 2 years. I think after my third year and getting the big contract and now having to step into a new role, I think, for me, it was about how can I impact winning. And I'm just trying to do that to the best of my ability. We're building something special here. We're having a lot of fun with what we're doing. And, I feel like I'm at the forefront of that along with, a lot of these guys. So I'm just trying to play the right way.
Just an insane all-time blunder from NBA players to collectively vote this guy as most overrated. To give him the fuel that the Indiana Pacers and he may have been looking for, because now we are going from most overrated conversations to if this guy pulls it off and wins a chip, all these face of the league conversations. You turn on ESPN. I'm not going to just be this guy that like is not on ESPN and then talks about ESPN. I think that's kind of stupid. But I am going to talk about that a little more coming up because they are an NBA rights holder. And they have to get it together. They dictate a lot of the coverage of this sport because they've been a right holder for so long. And to be every day is Anthony Edwards' face of the league. Is he face of the league? Is he face? Some of that time should be focused on Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Some of that time should be focused on Tyrese Haliburton. Also, the face of the league, it's not like a thing you can win. It's a fun thing to like talk about, kind of Mount Rushmore-like, but face of the league, if that's going to come up in the NBA, that should come up in, like, August. Like, tomorrow's Bartometer is which quarterback has the most to prove in 2025. I'm not going to do that in week three. I'm going to do it in the dead of summer when there's no NFL to talk about. We got playoff series going on. Let's break down those series. Let's talk about the games. Save the face of the league, Mount Rushmore nonsense for August.
I like it. It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off. On the other side, here's
topical references. There's nothing like
them. I like it a lot. Here's Josh Hart for the Knicks. What's the mindset going into Game 5?
Yeah, I mean, we're going back home. I never known this team to quit. That's not the character of the guys that we have in the locker room. So, obviously, our back's against the wall, but you know, we're competitors, and we're going to bring it until the series is over.
Well, we'll see about that. We'll see if they have a different kind of take on things than what Minnesota had tonight, where they got outscored in the first quarter 26-9, and you knew right away it was probably done. And it's not like you can get warmed up, you can get ready for the game, you can get your fit on, you can go to the arena, you can feel like, all right, let's do this. We're not giving up. But that doesn't mean you believe it. That doesn't mean that deep down that you think you're going to be better than these teams. And Minnesota, I want to talk about them too, because they built this team like for the longest time. I talked about how the Green Bay Packers were built to lose NFC championship games. Like, they're a good team, but they don't have enough to get you over the hump. And now Minnesota, having gone to two straight Western Conference finals, and looks like they're going to lose, if I'm not mistaken, in five in both of them. And I don't know what the future outlook is for them. They were almost built to get to this point and then lose there. So a lot of questions coming up for the Timberwolves after this one.
A lot of questions that'll be have to answer to a lot of teams, because you mentioned that some of these teams are going to have trouble trying to retool / rebuild going against some of these young bucks like the Thunder. Let's switch gears here. Let's go to the NFL. Let's go to Cleveland. I don't know why we're starting at Cleveland. It's cold 10 months a year, but fine. We'll go to talk about the Browns. Here's Joe Flacco. The Browns had a busy offseason retooling that quarterback room. It all started with the favorite domino known as Kenny Pickett. That's Super Bowl champion Kenny Pickett to you. They also got Joe Flacco back into the fold. Here's their veteran who don't know if they're going to be their starter yet, because they also drafted two quarterbacks, Dylan Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders. So here's Joe Flacco on if he had a reaction to the team drafting the two young guys.
I think you always have a little bit of reaction, going back to being honest. Yeah, I mean, my wife was like, oh, they just drafted another guy. Yeah. My wife is on top of it, you know. So there you go.
Well, who's the odd man out there? Because they're not going to keep four quarterbacks on the roster.
Kenny Pickett.
You can't put Dylan Gabriel on the practice squad, or Shedeur for that matter. So Flacco. But I thought Kenny Pickett would have been dealt already. I know they just traded for him, but he does seem like the odd man out to me. You gave it to Flacco, and then you let these guys run unless you trade Gabriel, but you're not going to get better than a third. And Sanders, you're not. I don't know. It's just like wherever Sanders went, there was always going to be a lot of attention and discussion around it. And then he goes to a team that also took another quarterback, and also, you know, kind of like the Giants. It's like, we don't know who we want to be quarterback, so let's make sure we get a veteran. Make sure we get a backup that sucks. Let's make sure we get a rookie, and let's make sure we have another young guy who's like 5'6". So, good luck. I mean, I hope one of those work for you, man.
Yeah, don't lump the Giants with the Browns. Let's go up to Buffalo, where head coach Sean McDermott, he gives a health update on one of his newest acquisitions.
Joey Bosa will not participate today. He pulled a calf, I believe it was late last week, Thursday, I believe. And so he'll be out for more than likely the foreseeable springtime at least. And then we'll get into training camp. Should be good to go by training camp.
I'd rather talk about former Bill Stephon Diggs. What's he up to?
Oh, yeah. Stephon Diggs, if anybody hasn't heard, there's a video on social that's been circulating around. It's him with three ladies and some pink stuff. Now,
he's dating Cardi B, and he's on her boat.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure that was her boat. You know, he's just living his life right now. Man, you know what? Let's sneak it in here. Here's Mike Vrabel. Says they are aware of that video.
Well, it's something that we're aware of, and obviously we want to make great decisions on and off the field. And we're hoping that with our time here on the field today, and that when we don't have a script and we're on the call-up periods, that we're making great decisions. And so the message will be the same for all our players, that we're trying to make great decisions. And any conversations that I've had with Stefan will remain between him and I and the club.
So I'm a 41-year-old dad that lives in the Midwest. I don't know what this stuff, what is he, what is it?
I really can't say for sure. I don't know. I have like an inkling what it is. I'll tell you off air. But let's just say he's having some fun.
But what I can gather is, like, think of all the drugs, and it could be a mix of them all.
Yeah, like, it's a mix of some specific stuff.
Yeah.
If that's what it is, reportedly.
I'm not saying allegedly. That's what it is.
Right, right. We don't know. We weren't there. I wish I was there. We weren't there.
I'm just wondering what people think any pink substance would be. For all we know, it's some of the stuff from those Kool-Aid packets. Like the pink lemonade one.
Oh, yeah.
We don't know. I'm not throwing out any allegations anywhere to nobody. Adam Silver, however, you need to sack up. Is that the right word? Find out.
Thank you for listening to the Bart Winkler Show. Listen live Monday through Friday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific.